Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Amen. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to John 15. You doing okay? Are you bored or are you all right? Can I share a cool vision that I had before we... Well, I'm waiting on mine. Oh, it's here now. Never mind.
Share it.
Okay, so somebody had a vision of a... Okay, this isn't going to be on the podcast. You got to be here because this might sound odd, all right? There was a portal right here.
Yeah.
And I kind of saw it in worship. Here's what's kind of funny. You ready? Ready for funny?
Yeah.
Ask your neighbor. You ready for funny?
Ready.
You know, sometimes you think you see things and you're not sure if it was real or not. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you think you see things in the spirit realm and you're not sure if it was real or not. Anybody ever do that? You're like, did I really just see something? Or was it my imagination? So I saw the portal, like this thing up here, right here. This is not my message. This is just... And then I was looking at it, which is, you know, because I don't see a portal every day. I'm not even sure what a portal is. And it's a thing here. And then out of it, anybody see Lillian getting whacked in worship? Anybody notice that?
Yeah.
I said to my wife, what do you think it's like trying to lead worship while the Holy Ghost is messing with you? What do you think that's like? But right before that happened, I saw it kind of change shape, and I saw angels begin to come out of it.
Yeah.
And as they came out of it, they had to go through Lillian, and that's when she started getting whacked. I was like, is that real? Am I really seeing that? And she starts going, whoa! I was like, oh, it's real. But you know. Is that freaking you out? You still love me? I don't know what to do with that. I just thought I would, you know. John chapter 15, verse 7. You still love me? Is that okay?
Yeah.
You there? Okay. The Bible says, and this is Jesus talking right here. We know because the words are red. We know those are really important words. Okay? Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Let me read that again. Starting with verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Father, we just trust that you will bless the reading of your word today. Huh? And that you would come with your presence in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Got a funny thing happening today in the American church. Somehow it becomes somehow more spiritual to act like God isn't around. Somehow, just believing without any evidence has become more spiritual than people who actually believe that God answers prayers. When you do things like desire to hear and seek God, and you begin to pray and fast, all of a sudden you're a radical crazy. You don't got to be that. Anybody ever had anybody in your life tell you, you don't got to do all that stuff? You don't got to go to church that often. You don't got to do all that stuff. You don't got to be praying in tongues. You don't have to be fasting. That's crazy. I don't do it. And that's always their thing. You know. Well, I don't do it. I know. Do you see miracles? Because I don't know anybody who does miracles who doesn't pray and fast. Well, you don't have to do miracles. I said, I know I don't have to, but I sure want to. Don't you? There takes a certain element of faith to operate in the supernatural. There takes a certain amount of stubbornness, shall I say. There takes a certain amount of, I am going to change my surroundings before my surroundings change me kind of attitude. Nobody stumbles into a ministry of prophecy. At some point, you have to step out beyond your comfort zone and do stuff you don't really want to be doing. It's like that in many aspects of life. In many, many, many goals that God drops on the inside of your heart, you got to die to some stuff to see it come to pass. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like, you know God wants you to do something, or you know He has something for you, but He doesn't just give it to you. You're like, well, you're God.
Yeah.
You want me to do it? Just go ahead and make it happen. But God's desire is that you want things as badly as He wants them.
Right. Yeah.
He wants your will transformed into His. He won't transform His will into yours. And so we have this divine tension where we hear God's plan and we hear God's purposes, yet we're not walking in it yet because we have not been conformed to His image to see His fruit. Does that make sense? And so the key here, and I want to kind of give you some keys today, but what we need to do here is we have to hear God's voice on the key areas of our life.
Amen.
Far too often we come up with our own plan and we wait for God to bless it. And we wonder why God hasn't blessed the plan that we came up with.
Yeah.
God is not obligated to bless your plan.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Amen.
Are you here?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys some keys to seeing God's plan come to fruition in your life. You got to come to a place in your walk where you say, Lord, I need to know what your will is. You have to speak to me on this matter, and I'm not going to be moved until you speak.
Yeah.
You ever met anybody who's a Christian, and you're a Christian, you're a spiritual Christian, and they're just kind of weird? You ever met a weird Christian, and they blamed it on God? Anybody?
Yeah.
I got a revelation this week. A lot of people are mean, and they think it's God. That God's righteousness is their meanness. And it's not.
Yeah.
That's just another way of being a weird Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the God of love lives on the inside of you and you're mean, something's not working.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's just not working. The God of love is not really dwelling on the inside of you. If you say the God of love is living inside of you and you're judging people around you, considering He says He's not even going to judge them until they die, you're operating in a level of discernment that God isn't operating in, that's amazing. I gotta believe there's something else at work. I used to know some people, and like they would say God would come over them, and they'd act very, very odd. And I can get that. God can do whatever He wants. But it would manifest like them flopping around on the ground and their kids not being taken care of. That's not God. God is not calling you to do something and preventing you from doing it. Hear what I'm saying. God is not calling you to do something and then preventing you from doing it. He's not calling you to be a good parent and then not equipping you to be a good parent. He's not calling you to be a husband and then not equipping you to be a good husband. He's not calling you to be a wife and not equipping you to be a good wife. He's not calling you to minister ministry and not equipping you to ministry. He's not calling you to love the lost and then not equipping you to love the lost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not a weird God. He doesn't do things randomly. He has a plan and he works them out pretty solidly. And what's interesting about God is you can have amazing experiences with God, but they're always a byproduct of a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not the source. They're not the center of your relationship. And if you're not sure about this, God, he mirrors His relationship with you with a wedding, with a marital relationship. He says at the end of the age, there's going to be a wedding feast. He calls us the bride of Christ. And so a healthy marriage looks a lot like a healthy relationship with God. What does this mean? Well, if women only want their husband to provide for them, that's not going to be a healthy relationship. If it's all about the money, that's not a healthy relationship. So if your relationship with God is like, God, my whole relationship with you is that you do stuff for me, that's not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Husband and wife, if you're constantly, the whole sum total of your intimate relationship with your wife is physical, how many of you know at some point the wife is not going to want to be physical? Yes? And so if your relationship with God is always, you know, we're going to have this physical intimacy, but don't expect me to be good to you when we're not, you know, and I'm not getting something out of it.
Yeah.
That's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
You with me on this? Are we together?
Yeah.
Has anybody here been in a relationship? Know what I'm talking about? Is anybody here?
Yeah.
Period. Is anybody here?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I don't want to create experiences. When you're away from God, you go out seeking experiences. That's all you got. You're seeking intimate relationships. You're seeking pleasurable experiences. You're seeking the fruit of what a good relationship with God will produce. Because when you have a good relationship with God, all of a sudden He starts taking care of your needs. He starts bringing you intimacy. He starts bringing you love. Starts bringing you security. Starts making you feel whole. Yeah. But if you don't have God, you got to try to get these experiences aside from Christ.
Yeah.
And so you go out and you try to find love, or you're trying to find money, or you're trying to find security, or you're trying to find, you know, your identity outside of Christ. Yeah. It's always perverted because it's not rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Now, God can create experiences with you. He can do whatever He wants because, you know, last time I checked, He's God. And then He can do stuff that just blows your mind. It doesn't even make sense. And I get that. What gets weird is when people produce the weird because they want an experience.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with physical intimacy. There's a healthy thing about sexual relations in a marriage. Outside of the marriage, it's sin. Inside the marriage, it's blessed. How is that? Why is that? Because intimacy without commitment is perversion.
Amen.
And when you try to produce the fruit of intimacy with God without the commitment to God, now we're weird. Because it's not balanced. There's a reason God wants you to have kids inside of a marriage. Because He wants kids to grow up secure and safe, knowing that they're loved and that they're it's okay to give your heart fully to somebody. They won't run out on you. You don't want to teach your kids, you know, get love while you can, because they may not stick around. Yeah. And so, God, in His infinite wisdom, He wants us to hear His voice on a matter so they can be established in truth. He says to the church in the book of Revelation, He has these messages for these seven churches. And He says to the church in Ephesus, He talks to them about, you know, all this great stuff. And then He's like, look, you got to turn, and I'm going to give you some instruction. I'm going to tell you how to preserve yourself. And then He says really something really funny in verse 7. He says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear. You know what that means? It's possible for you to hear but not be hearing. Just because someone, now the married men know what I'm talking about. Just because somebody's talking doesn't mean you're hearing them.
Amen.
The wives know what I'm talking about. Didn't we talk about this? Did we? I didn't know we were going to your mom's today. I had plans. Totally forgot about that. My bad. I don't think you told me. Oh, I told you. The kids, I told you. Y'all want to laugh? You know what I'm talking about? But God says something really interesting to the church in Ephesus. He who has ears, let him hear. That means God is speaking all the time, but He wants you to hear what He's saying. In our scripture in John 15, and I'm going somewhere, trust me. I'm affected by the Holy Ghost, but I'm going somewhere. He says, if My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this My Father is glorified. Do you know God wants to live on the inside of you and teach you His ways?
Yeah.
You know that's His desire?
Yeah.
It's not like you hit lotto and God comes and touches you. That's His desire for you. It's what you were created for. But so many times in today's world, we don't get to operate in the glory of God because we haven't actually heard God's will on a matter. We haven't actually heard what God wants us to do. And so we go out and do things and wonder why God hasn't blessed it. We don't do things according to God's plan, and we don't see how God wants it to come to pass. You see, God is so wise, He'll tell you, listen, go do this right here. And you're like, but Lord, that's not going to get me there. He's like, but I know the map and you don't.
Yeah.
All you got to do is just do what I'm telling you to do, and I'm going to get you there. You might feel called to evangelistic ministry, and the Lord says, that's awesome. I'm going to make you a great evangelist. You're going to touch the world. What I want you to do right now is we'll serve in children's ministry. You're like, that don't sound like a great evangelistic outreach. But God is God. I'm standing on this stage today because the Lord told me to serve in youth ministry. Had I not obeyed him in something, I always said, I will serve wherever you want, God, except for youth. I don't want to deal with no grumpy middle schoolers,
okay,
snot-nosed high schoolers. I didn't want nothing to do with it. All the funky attitudes and the pride, I don't want to deal with it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wasn't saved in middle school. And so my view of middle schoolers was not good. Right? I wasn't saved in high school. My view of high school was not good. But I just surrendered to Jesus. He put me in a youth group. You know what's funny about youth groups? There's saved people in there. And so you're not dealing with the same folk that you were running with in middle school. But I had to surrender to God's will to come into that. And out of that led an outreach, which led to this. Had I not listened to God, we wouldn't be here. Amen? He says to the church in Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. He says to the church in Pergamum in Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2:29, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. The church in Sardis in Revelation 3:6, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Church in Philadelphia in Revelation 3:13, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:22, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. You think he might mean this? Now, I don't know what your view of the end times is, right? And I don't want to get into that right now. However, all seven of these churches at that point were Christian. And by 69 AD, they were all overthrown. And they're all now Muslim cities. And he warned them very clearly, if you do not listen to my words, I will remove the lampstand.
Yeah.
I don't want him removing my lampstand.
Yeah.
I don't want my call revoked because my ear is not attuned to what the Spirit is speaking. And if you notice in these scriptures, he didn't say, listen to what I'm speaking to you, Thyatira church. He said, listen, he who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Plural. Why would he say that? Because the God who's speaking to Ephesus is also speaking to Thyatira, who's talking to Laodicea, who's talking to Philadelphia. Listen, here's what I'm trying to do. My point in this. God is not confused. And when God declares truth, it is truth for everybody. There isn't one truth for you and a truth for somebody else. Now, you may get different directions, but God is not going to tell one person to be faithful to your wife, tell the other one, why don't you go ahead and take three or four wives. That violates his nature. There's no way he would say that. He's not telling one person in the scriptures, you know, it's good to gather with the saints and tell someone else, no, I want you to stay home by yourself because they're not spiritual enough for you.
Yeah.
No, that's a lie from hell.
Yeah. Amen.
That's good. So we need to have an ear to hear. We need to have an ear to hear what God is speaking to us. And we block it off sometimes. We're scared of what he's going to say.
Yeah.
You ever go, you don't even want to pray on something because you're scared what God might say? Did that ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Is that just me? Is that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I ain't going to pray on that one. I act like we ain't even talking about that. You want to talk about it, you know where I am. Yeah?
Yeah.
I know that feeling. Don't do that. God is a very good God.
Amen.
You notice when you go pray on those things you don't want to ask him about, it's always better than you thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Leads me to my point number one.
Woo!
You want to hear God's heart on the matter. You ready? You got to hear what God is speaking because God is truth. You ready? Number one, you have to be a lover of truth.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll say it again. You have to be a lover of truth. You see, everything Jesus speaks is fully, totally, 100% truth. If you're not hearing God's voice, you're being robbed of just a wonderful wellspring of life. It is so good. You have to be a lover of truth. Deep down on the inside of who you are, you have to say, Jesus declares truth. I want the truth in my life. Because when you love the truth, what that means is you're deciding, I'm not going to live according to a lie. Right? Anybody follow basketball?
Yeah.
Greatest basketball player ever. Who would you say? Michael Jordan. Greatest retired player. Michael Jordan. Greatest basketball executive, not Michael Jordan.
Right.
Anybody follow this? Okay, if you don't know, Michael Jordan, everybody knows Michael Jordan, right? The great slam dunk, greatest player ever. And when Michael Jordan got rich, he surrounded himself with a lot of people who like being around someone rich.
Yeah.
And they're like, they would rather hang around Michael Jordan than speak truth.
Yeah.
And so he became the executive of a basketball team, and there's not people around him who could say, dude, you don't pick players very well. These players are bad. And so he's leading a team that's awful. Just awful. Just terrible. Year after year after year, they pick really bad players with high draft picks. Why? Because he's not a lover of truth. I'm not judging the man's heart, but he's surrounded himself. He's not positioned himself to hear truth on matters. And the more you get up the ladder of success, the more you get up the ladder of prosperity, the more you have to seek people in counsel that will speak truth to you. Or you will be given to a deception. You'll start to believe the lies that you think about yourself. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, you can't get to Father God except through truth. You can't get to him through a lie. There's no way to enter through a lie. I don't care if we all agree on the same lie, it ain't going to get you to the Father.
Right.
I don't care if you get the whole world to agree on it. I don't care if your mama agrees on it, your best friend down the street. I don't poop in them. I don't know. It does not matter how many people agree on it. If it's not the truth, it will not work. We all know about this. They go, I just believe it. Well, how's that working for you? It ain't, is it? Because that's not the truth.
Right.
You can just believe you're the greatest basketball player ever, but at some point you got to get on the court.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, one day we're all going to stand before the throne of judgment. Well, let's see, I don't see your name in the book here. Well, I just believed that if I would live a good life, I would get on the book. If only it worked that way. I'm sorry. Because that's not true.
Yeah.
It says of Jesus that God gives life to the dead. He calls into existence things that do not exist.
Yeah.
He gives life to the dead. He calls into existence things that did not exist.
Yeah.
Let me put some feet on this in your life. When you are following God's plan, your faith and obedience gives life to the words he gave you.
Amen.
Hear me on this. You see your call is over there. Maybe that's the spouse that God has promised you. Maybe that's the ministry he's promised you. Maybe that's the business he's promised you. Maybe that's the peace that he's promised you. But between that and here is an abyss. And God says, why don't you just walk that way? And you're like, there ain't nothing there. You know what's there? God's word. There's no life there right now. But if God spoke it, there's life on it. Because he calls things into existence that do not exist. And you're like, if you're waiting until he creates the path for you, you'll never see the path. So he speaks something to you. And as you take that first step, your faith brings that step into existence. It brings life right there. You're like, but I don't see it there. I'm pretty close now, right, God? Now you just bring it to me. Nope. Waiting for another step. And your faith in the Word of God brings life to what God has spoken. Another step has been created. It may not make sense to people around you who don't hear God's voice. But to those who have heard His voice, recognize the anointing on an instruction. Say, I don't see how that's going to work, but I know God speaks. Jesus tells you to do something, means he worked. It's his problem to work it out how it's going to happen. You just obey.
Yeah.
In Colossians chapter 1, it says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. When God speaks a word, hear me. When God speaks a word and tells you to step out, When he tells you to step out, what you're doing is you're not walking in your own strength all of a sudden. What you're doing is you're stepping out onto God's word.
Yes.
That truth is formed as you respond to God speaking to you. You say, I don't see nothing there right now, but I'm about to step out on God's word because I know my God cannot lie.
Yeah.
And as I step out in faith, it brings that word into existence. You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm about to bring some truth right now. You ready for some?
Good.
I don't know anybody reacting if this is you, all right? I don't want you to be embarrassed. Married men, let me talk to you first. I'm about to destroy a deception in your mind. You ready?
Yeah.
Married men, women have two lists, two groups that they put all men into. Men they're romantically interested in, and everyone else. And there's varying degrees of where you are in this other group, from please don't let him come into my zip code to that's just my best friend. I wish we could cuddle. And then there's men that they're actually interested in. You can never jump from that group to that group. It does not happen. When you get married, all of a sudden you're safe and they let you become intimate with them in an emotional aspect because they think you're safe. You didn't get hot all of a sudden after you got married. Now, married men can think after they get married, all of a sudden women are like easy to get intimate with. Wow, I used to have problems, but now I'm married. I could maybe even do better than my wife. No, that's a deception of the devil.
Come on.
That's a deception of the devil. See, now you're safe, and they don't think that you're going to... But you do, because you think they like you. No, you're on that list, bro.
Yeah.
You can't jump from one group to the other.
Yeah.
Fellas, once you're in the friend zone... Let me speak to that. Women, some of you are chronically single. The Lord spoke to me about this last night. When you react to God in faith and you cut off everything that is not God, you create a vacuum over here that's called God's will, that draws God's will into it. Does that make sense? When you just say, okay, only God is going to supply this need right here, and I'm kicking everything that I've built out of it, it creates a vacuum that draws God's will into it. So now when you surround yourself with guy friends, you know what you're doing? Number one, you're lying to the guys, making them think they're on the other list. And number two, you're getting intimacy and affection outside of God's will, cluttering up this vacuum, not drawing in your husband. You're like, no, we can just be friends. No, you can't. If you think that men and women can just be good friends, then why don't you let your man hang out with women? Oh, you think you're special? That's deception. You're letting dudes hang out with you for a reason. You're getting something out of it. You need to repent. God has created it. This is point number one we're working on right now. Sorry? Okay, here's the way God has created it. You get emotional and physical intimacy only three places. If you're a woman, you get it three places. Emotional and physical intimacy come from your natural father, who should be affirming you and causes you lots of stuff. And there's a physical intimacy that is godly between a man and his daughter. You get it through your heavenly father. You get this intimacy, this I share my heart with you in the presence and you make me feel good about myself. And you get it from your husband. That's it. That's where you get it. That's the only man you get it from. Now, if you can get intimacy from your girlfriends, whatever, that's fine. But it's not the same thing. Let me tell you this. Your spiritual father does not even fill that role. My daughter, who is 9, sits on my lap. And I... We're doing that on the couch. My wife's like, you got to get ready. I'm like, hold on, just 2 more minutes. Stroking her face, loving on my daughter. My wife can sit intimately with me. She works in the office and she's like, would you just work to do? And you're like, you're laughing and giggling. Now, if I told you that one of the women in this church was sitting in my lap, we wouldn't be laughing anymore. Like, oh, I'm not ready for that spiritual truth, because it's not a truth, it's a lie. Because all of a sudden things are weird. Why? Because that's not my wife. You want a husband? Quit getting your needs met through men who you're not committed to. I'm trying to rein it in right now. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. When you are... when you're posting pictures of yourself on Facebook and Instagram with dudes, we're not thinking how awesome you got guy friends. We're thinking, oh, this poor girl does not understand how much these men are enjoying being that close to them physically. Selah. Number two. Let me just say this. Fellas, when the girls stop calling you back now, just say, I was in the friend zone. And just thank Jesus that he's closed the door for you, okay? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Ladies, if you're married and you got dudes in the friend zone, ask your husband if that's all right. Number two. Is it okay? You still love me?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Number one was you have to be a lover of truth, right? We love truth.
Yeah.
Jesus is the truth, right? Number two, you have to have an expectation that God wants to speak to you. You're not out here on your own. You know that? God sent you here. He redeemed you. And he hasn't left you forsaken. He hasn't left you orphaned. He hasn't left you alone. He said, like, you know, I sent you here to go figure it out on your own. It may feel that way at times, because God wants you to know at times. He removes the tangible evidence of his presence. He wants you to know, hey, guess what? I deposited so much on the inside of you. You're going to look back and notice I was with you that whole time. But alternately, you may feel like God is not with you because your sin has blocked his presence. But you have to expect that God wants to talk to you. Let me give you the key to spiritual growth. Are you ready?
Yes.
The key to spiritual growth is not be weird. The key to spiritual growth is not to just say things and make stuff up or be confused. The key to spiritual growth is not that exciting. Are you ready? Holy routines.
Woo.
Healthy, holy routines are the key to spiritual growth. What does that mean? Well, Ezekiel said that the people could not hear in Ezekiel chapter 12. He said, listen, the people, you don't hear, you don't have an ear to hear God because of your sin, right? So the key to spiritual growth is to have healthy, holy routines. That means you want to, as a regular part of your life, be involved in activities that God can talk to you through. What does that mean? You read your Bible. That's boring these days, reading your Bible. But you know what? When you read this thing in faith and God starts to talk to you through it, it's a whole lot more interesting book. When the God of heaven and earth starts to, he jumps on a scripture. When you read your Bible and a scripture jumps out at you, or you see yourself reading the same four verses over and over and over, you're like, oh, God, did I read this? Oh, I read that already. Okay, let me go back. Oh, God, I read it again. Oh, man, I read it again. Guess what? That's the Holy Ghost trying to get your attention. I'm trying to talk to you right now. I got something in this for you. And you want to position yourself reading your Bible every day. Just read your Bible. And God will begin to talk to you through this Bible. And it's, you know what it is? It's truth. It's truth. God will talk to you through the preaching of the word. I'll stand up here talking the whole time. You're like, yeah, that's good. Then all of a sudden, bam, something drops in your spirit. You're like, did he just say that for me? Yeah. Yes. That's God talking to you right now. That's God talking to you right now. So you want to come to church every week instead of the preaching of the word and let God talk to you. in all this prepares you for the third main way I think God talks to you, is to talk to you personally. He just drops in and starts speaking. You have that? I mean, he might send an angel, he might speak by his spirit, he might speak to you through a vision or a dream, but God just comes and invades your life. God spoke to me like that Tuesday morning in such a profound way. You know, I like to hear his voice every day. You know, sometimes even more, God will speak to me. Here's how you know it's really God. He'll speak to you and everything has to bow to that.
Yeah.
Everything in your life has to bend toward that thing being right.
Yeah.
You might get an idea. You know, I think I might go to college. And then you go out and blow all your money on some new shoes, you know. Clearly, that's not a truth that was established in your life. I go to college. That was just an idea. But when God speaks to you, all of a sudden, every other truth in your life bows to that truth.
Yeah.
God spoke to me Tuesday morning, real subtly, real softly. He just said to me, I prayed at intercession, and God likes to speak at intercession. I was praying at intercession. I got off the mic, and the Lord said, he was just kind of like, he was chilling next to me. He was just standing here like this, and he was like, I didn't see him. It's kind of what it felt like. He was kind of reacting. He said, I wonder how long people will keep begging me for things I've already promised them. So he spoke to me just like that. I was like, good Lord. What does that mean? See, I have an ear to hear, and I want to figure out what he's talking about. What if you promised me that I don't have to beg you for anymore? Because I'm going to stop begging. Anything that you've already promised, I want to receive it. Dan Slade came and preached 2 weeks ago, and he spoke a word over this house that has absolutely knocked me off center. And I know that was Jesus talking to me. And I've been trying to write and read and call and harass people to try to figure out exactly what God is speaking, because that's the truth that everything else I do has to bend toward. See, God wants to talk to you, and he wants to talk to you, make it clear, make it easy to understand. He wants to speak into your life, speak into your situation, speak into what you're going through. This is who he wants to be in your life. And so through all these ways, say you're still not hearing God. You know the easiest way to hear God? Ask him. Just ask. Ask, seek, knock. Just do whatever you've got to do to get God talking to you. And he'll lead you. He won't leave you orphaned.
Yeah.
Number three. You want to stand on God's word. The whole reason we have these holy routines so that we can recognize God's voice, so we can understand when something is actually God. And when God actually speaks, we want to stand on it. A lot of times people tell me God said this and God said that, and I ask them 6 months later, what happened to that vision? Oh, now I feel like God wants me to do that. Well, there's no way he told you to do one thing and then he told you to do something different.
Yeah.
You don't recognize God's voice. When that happens enough, you've got to come to a place where you say, I don't hear his voice. I need to submit the words I think God is speaking to me to somebody so this will be fleshed out and I get some fruit in my life. You with me?
Yeah.
Listen. Our original verse was John 15. He said, if you abide in me and my words. John 15:7. Put it up. 15:7. John 15:7. You ready? Let's look at it together. If you, say me. If you abide in Jesus and his
word.
Abide means like to live. It means like this is where I've set up my house. This is this stays and it doesn't leave. I'm not wondering where I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't look for a new house every night. There is a building that I abide in. My family goes there and we're safe, and nothing comes against that. Jesus said, if my words abide in you. See, Jesus is the word. He is truth. He is life. When his word lives in you, when they abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish. The Father will do it. Why? You know what's so exciting about this? Jesus said his Father is glorified when that happens in your life. That's how you give him glory. I don't know if God will do it for me. He'll do it for other people. But why wouldn't he want more glory?
Yeah.
Do you think he's got enough now? That's enough glory. You can stop now. I'll just let y'all die of sickness and hunger. I've got enough glory. No. He wants his word to be alive in you so it can bring much fruit and he gets glory from it. He wants to prosper your life for his glory. He wants your will to be conformed into his will, because his will is perfect. It's truth. And when that happens, you bear much fruit and he gets glory. When you're fighting against God and what he's telling you to do, you're fighting against your own prosperity. When you don't trust the words he's spoken over you and you decide, I know he told me to wait. I know he told me to seek. I know he told me to do this, but I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and do this other thing. You're fighting against your own prosperity. Kind of silly in that light, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of silly. You're working against the very thing you're believing God for because of your slowness to respond to God's leading. You with me?
Yeah.
This is a good word. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I want to encourage you. God knows what he's doing when he speaks truth in your life. You want to stand on the word regardless of what you see around you. I'm not going to elevate the truth of my eyes above what God has spoken.
Yeah?
You got to stand on it. You got to say, I don't care what happens. I am going with God. Mikey, come up. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to provoke you. See, I got a couple gifts in my life. I got a couple spiritual gifts. It's not bragging because I've seen it so much. I'm not worried about it anymore. Like, Mikey gets on that keyboard, he's not wondering if he's going to be able to play a song or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Oh, let me give it a shot. No, he knows. Take him down for me a little bit. Go ahead. God's given me a couple gifts that, God's given Lillian a gift. He's given Donnie a gift. It's easy for us to recognize those gifts. They're spiritual gifts God has given me, and I don't question them anymore. Yeah. One of the gifts he's given me, and I pray for people to get connected.
Amen.
I pray for people they get visions. I pray for people they start hearing God. Now, if you're hungry, you actually want to hear truth in your life. You want to hear God's glorious and wonderful plan in the aspects of your life. I want to pray for you today. Jesus spoke to me over this house. He told me there's going to be a pool of Bethesda for emotional healing in this house. I contended for that for years. And then he spoke it, and I just stand up here, and I'm just like, if you got mental issues, you're going to get healed today. I don't got to muster that up. I don't have to wonder if he's going to do it. I get so many testimonies about it. I mean, I don't even wonder anymore. People send me these emails, Pastor, you're not going to believe what happened. I'm like, bet I will. No. An angel came in, then he did this. I told you, I believe it. I've seen it enough. I'm not wondering anymore. This whole portal thing with angels coming out might freak you out. I've seen it enough. It doesn't surprise me. The glory falls on me, and I want to hit the ground. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not surprised when it happens. When God begins to bless your life, you're going to be surprised. I won't be surprised, and I know that's God's plan already. You may not have faith that God wants to bless your life. You may not have faith that God wants to talk to you. You may not have faith that you'll hear his voice. You know what's funny? We can have faith that other people will receive from God, but we don't have faith that we'll actually personally receive. It's like, I know God is a good God, and he's a giver, and he's a blesser, and he speaks, but I just don't know that he's going to do it for me. Is that anybody? I know he's a good God, he does good things, he does wonderful things, and he heals people. I just don't know if he's going to heal me. Right? I'm not rebuking you, right? Guess what? I got faith that he's going to touch you. I don't even need your faith. I don't need it. I have faith. All you got to do is believe that I believe it. You don't even have to believe it for yourself. You just believe, pastor said it, and he hears God kind of good, so I'm just going to believe that he heard that. I don't believe it for me, but I believe that he believes it. That's enough. That's all God needs right there. He'll work with that right there. So we're gonna pray here in a moment, and what's gonna happen is the fire of God's gonna fall and begin to touch some of you on the inside of who you are. Oh, this is going to be very good. I've seen God anoint a couple people recently. I've prophesied things over people that I didn't even believe in. Like the Lord showed me, I'm gonna say it. And I ask, what's happening? The very thing he told me to claim over them begins to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. I know God's voice. I want you to know God's voice. I want you to hear it because God wants to reveal mysteries to you. You believe me?
Yeah.
Is anybody, your chest is beginning to burn? Or is that just me? My chest is burning right now. There it is right there. Okay, if that's you today. You say, you know what? You know what, Pastor? I want to hear God. I'm a lover of truth. I want to stand on God's word. Don't get slow on me here. You can bring them up in the mains. I think it's just me. And as good as I sound, I want to hear a little keyboard here. Bring them up a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's you today. I want you to just kind of, I want you to stand your feet in faith. I want to pray for you. Like, I'm ready to hear God's voice a whole lot better than I'm hearing it right now. I'm ready for a gift. I'm ready to be activated right now. I'm going to pray for you. And the God of wonders is about to come down and touch some people.
Yes, sir.
This is about to get very, very good. This is about to get very, very, very good. Pastor Jerry Wonder. This is about to get very, very, very good. Thank you, this is about to get very, very, very good. This is about to get very, very, very good. I'm going to pray for you. But I need you right now. I need you just to love God's word. I want you to trust everything He's spoken to you. I want you to stir up in your heart. And I want the doubt in your heart to be eliminated right now in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? The disobedience, Come on, if that's you, I want you to stand on your feet. God's about to speak. They match today. That's cute. That's neat. Thank you, Jesus. Keep it going, Mike. Lucas, are you in the building? Lucas Pedetta? Come. Lucas, come bang on the drums for me. I feel something welling up right now. I'm just waiting. I'm gonna pray that if you need to go, you can go, and then I'm gonna minister to some people. But we're just gonna let. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to see Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn on the mic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I need you to build a box.
that's going to hold the testimony I'm going to give you. They didn't receive the miracle yet. They didn't receive the breakthrough yet. They didn't receive the testimony yet. He said, but I'm bringing it. I want you to get your box ready, and I'm going to fill it with testimony. Some of you right now need to build a box. Your act of obedience builds a box for His blessing, miracle, and testimony to fill. He's speaking to people right now. He's reminding you of things He's told you to do. And He's just waiting for you to act in obedience so He can fulfill the testimony in your life. I hope this is stirring up your faith right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, don't stop worshiping. The devil is a liar. 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 He will not remove His power from you. He cannot remove His power from you. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus rebukes you. You come out. people who hurt you before. God has healed your heart right now. Go ahead, speak it out. If God showed you something, say, God, I'm going to do it. 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 God's promise. I see him busting it open right now. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He's healing hard hearts right now. He's making it soft. Restoring the heart of stone for the heart of flesh. Receive it. Father, we thank you for everything you're doing in this room. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to go work miracles for your God. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Today you freely receive, you freely give. Hold on a second here. I'm going to dismiss you for 1 second. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We receive everything you have for us. We declare that we love your truth. We're going to walk in it in Jesus.
Whoa.
In Jesus' name.
Whoa.
Whoa. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to go back into worship here in a moment. If you need to go, you just be blessed. You have a wonderful day in the Lord. If you feel like God still has a miracle for you and stay in this atmosphere, I want to welcome you to come. Amen. Maybe we can have some people play songs. Thank you. Prophetic word, come on forward.